Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Our Father, we thank you this day. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We bow before you because your name is glorious. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for another year that you have brought us together. Thank you for moving in our midst in different lands, in different nations, in different tribes and tongues. Lord, we thank you, God, for what we see you doing in our generation. We give you all the praise, we give you all the honor. Father, we want to thank you for where we have come from different nations, from different lands. Oh God, we give you praise. We give you praise, Lord, from different sections and different kinds and tongues. We are not taking this for granted, that you want to do something concurrently in all the nations of the earth, and you are gathering us and you are saying, bring me a new cruise. Our Father and our God, we have come. We have come unto you this time, and we are asking that which you want to do in our generation, that which for which you have turned your attention to us and say, come to me, bring me a new cruise. We are asking, oh God, that your spirit will undertake for us. We ask, Lord, that you will fulfill your divine counsel over our lives at a time like this in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we turn over to you. We turn this meeting to you. We turn our heart to you. We turn our lives to you. And we are saying, Lord, have your will with us. Have your way in us. Have your way around us. Have your way through us, and let Christ and you alone be glorified even in these days. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those that are yet joining us in a different, some are coming on different platforms. We ask, Lord, that all of us shall be blessed of you. For all those that have come into centers, and there are some, oh God, who could not yet enter into a center, but they are following on the YouTube, or they are following, oh God, on the Telegram, or they are following on other platforms. Whichever way you are moving on the time, let there be a divine outpouring, do a new thing all over the nations, all over the lands, and Lord, cause us to see a concurrent outpouring, a concurrent move of God, a concurrent help that comes to our nations of all the places in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. And tonight, Lord, send forth your word to us. Let it mix with faith in our heart. Do a new thing for us as we are saying. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Our theme for this year's circle, a new cruise for divine exploits. A new cruise for divine exploits. And for our church, I just want you to just read briefly the very brief body that we have put down just to set this meeting. Very short, but very, very pungent, the things that we sense God wants us to do. Many things in our lands and nations appear pleasant on the surface, and all can see it. There are great possibilities and potentials But the reality that has struck our generation is a barrenness that defies all human solution. There is a missing link. Today, we are all witnessing the destruction of global peace by terrorism, the genocidal killings, wickedness, injustice, corruption, epidemics, political unrest, disruptive economy, etc. The systems and institutions once trusted are failing phenomenally. The desperate cry for intervention from helpless victims is deafening as they helplessly look in the wrong directions. They are eagerly looking for help, but they are looking for where there is no help. They are digging cisterns, but these are broken cisterns that contains no water. Men of Jericho, just like us, they came to this kind of position in their own life too, and they are confronted with the challenge of the bad water that resourced their land and made it barren. But they cried out for help. They cried out for help to God through Elisha. The children of Israel in Egypt cried out by reason of their affliction. Every time people cry out, God responds. And I sense that God is beginning to respond to the cry of his people in different nations of the earth now. I perceive that we have come to that point at which if God does not help us, we are going to be in a very serious, precarious situation. But when men cry, God has always responded. And in this particular story that we are going to study today, God's response then and even today is bring me a new cruse. Bring me a new vessel into which I can pour the salt that handles decay and corruption. Bring me a new cruse. Bring me a new vessel into which I can pour the salt that handles decay and corruption. His eye is scanning the entire earth quietly for available and usable vessels to engage and to back them up with all of heaven's resources in bringing about a permanent and an enduring solution to the prevailing situations of our time. In most cases, we have seen God lay hands on the young to do these exploits. And we have several examples. Joseph was a young man who brought a turnaround to Egypt's economy. David silenced the arrogant Goliath, though they said, "You are but a youth." And Esther was a young queen whose prayer life saved the whole of our people along with Mordecai. So we have seen times that God turned to the young people, some in their teenage, 17, 20, 21. God began to call them out to do something that will turn things around. So it is not incredible that God is turning to us again and he said, bring me a new cruse. Bring me a new cruse. It is not incredible that you are in this meeting. I sense that God is the one behind it, and it's not in vain. It's not going to be in vain. Something is going to break forth out of this to the glory of his name as we pray together. The darkness seem to be growing thicker and thicker. There is coming an outburst of glory upon us that we define a new direction for the nations, and God is determined to move us into a time of refreshing. Even though things are looking very hopeless, they are looking as if, can anything change again? And some of you might be wondering, are we not just Are we not just gathering like this? No. I want you to know that God is about to do something. There's going to be a time of refreshing before he will release his son Jesus Christ to come to the earth again. And that time of refreshing, God had declared it, had been speaking about it to us over the past few years. And it's been progressing. We have seen God walk in our midst, and we have seen that God is deliberate in what he is saying, in what he is doing, and is doing this across different nations. And he's doing this concurrently because the coming move of God is going to actually be global. And it's not going to emphasize one man. It will be a move of God through his own vessels. These are going to be vessels that are not looking for personal glory, but men and women that just want to see Jesus enthroned in their own context and situation. So when God said, "Bring me a new vessel," it's the demand that God is placing upon us, even as we cry to see a divine intervention in our present world. This is the burden for this year's Students and Youth Congress. New cruises, new vessels, fresh hearts in the prime of their years are being envisioned, equipped, empowered, and engaged to be taken to the source of our troubles and decays for a permanent exploit. Please take note. I said God is going to help us with new cruises, new vessels, fresh hearts who are in the prime of their years. They are going to be envisioned, equipped, empowered, and engaged to be taken to the source of our troubles and decays for a permanent exploit. As you have come, we want you to pray and trust the Lord for a single eye to see the hand stretch out towards you by the Lord to grant you a lasting encounter, and such a encounter that will transform your life and position you for exploits in your own generation. This is our desire, this is our cry, and I pray that God will grant it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, our theme text, which was taken from 2 Kings chapter 2, I would like to think with you through it briefly tonight while we are setting our heart on what God is about to do. Now, I want you to see that last year, if any of you were with us in the Student Congress last year, you will remember that God began to speak to us about double portion for the days ahead. And we were in this same passage, particularly looking at Elisha pursuing the double portion of the Spirit on Elijah, his disciple. And we came to that point, and God began to speak deep things to us about what he wants to do by releasing the double portion into our lives. But we want to go a bit further today as I see God beginning to talk about the fact that, yes, this double portion that he has been talking about is meant to solve problems. It's meant to bring solution onto the challenges of our world, the challenges of his church, and the challenges of the people everywhere. We wanted to note that by the time Elisha was coming out, this double portion that came upon his life was first of all contested. The people were wondering whether it's just a gimmick. They were wondering whether this thing that he said has happened to him, whether it has really happened. So the first thing was that they were skeptical. and they were looking at him with one kind of eye, and in fact they queried it. They said, perhaps it is not the spirit that has taken over, taken up Elijah. Let's go and check. No matter how Elisha said, don't worry yourself to check. They said, no, we must go. Unless we have gone, we cannot trust whether anything has happened to you or not. The time in which people were skeptical, in which people are not sure about what exactly God is doing in our lives, that time has come. We have seen ourselves being probed here and there. But something has changed. Something has changed. And that's where our story begins tonight. He said in verse 18, and when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said to them, did I not say to you, do not go? Did I not tell you that what God has done to Elijah is a reality? And what God has also done on my own life is a reality. That mantle has fallen from the Lord, and it has started to work. They wanted him to doubt the authenticity of what God has put in his life. But Elisha knew very deeply that something has fallen on his life. He knew that God has started a work in his life, and he knew that God is about to do something by his hand. He was begging God for that double portion of anointing, not for show, not for personal decoration. He wanted to be an answer to the problems of men. And so I could see the beginning of his ministry. I'm not going to be talking about the nature of what I sense God will be making us to enter into the coming days tonight. I just want to bring you on board with our text, and then begin to pray that God will help us. Now, after that, in verse 19, can we all now turn to verse 19? And the men of the city said to Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is not. The water is not, and the ground is barren. The men of the city said to Elisha, behold, I pray you, the situation of this city is pleasant, as you can see it. But the water that we are drinking is bad, is polluted, is not. And so it has made the ground barren. Now, permit me to note something quickly before I go on reading the rest of the passage. These were the men that were looking at Elisha with disdain before. These were the men that were arguing with him when he was following Elijah. Said, do you know that God will take away your master from your head today? And he said, yes, I know, keep quiet. I have no need to argue with you until I get what I'm looking for. I don't need to be struggling with you explaining until something real has come on my hand. It is the same people that came back and said, we are not sure what happened to you has happened. We want to go and do our research. And they took 3 days going up and down, see whether they will find somewhere where Elijah has been hanging. But they went everywhere, they saw nothing. So they came back. Now they came back to face the reality of their lives. They came back to speak concerning what is happening to them. And I feel tonight, that is where we should start this meeting. That is where each one of you should enter into this meeting. I feel that for God to bring solution to your life personally first, before we talk about using you to bring solution to your community, you need to come to a position where you are able to make an honest assessment of where you presently are. You need to be able to make a personal, honest evaluation of who you are, what is happening to you, what is your own present situation, and what are you going through. This is very important. Everywhere God is going to give, you know, a divine intervention, anywhere there is going to be a revival, anywhere there is going to be a restoration, anywhere there is going to be a fresh empowering, God expects that men must own up. Men must come to the point where they are able to say, this is my condition. This is what I'm going through. This is our own present situation. So I want to spend time on that verse 19, because after verse 19, God took over. God was bringing out his own wisdom that will solve their problem. But God could not do that until verse 19 has taken place. And wherever you are sitting, there's something heaven wants you to respond to quickly tonight, so that you don't delay what God wants to do in your life. There's something God wants you to respond quickly to this evening, so that this meeting itself can actually commence properly with your life, properly with your situation. What was that? The man of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray you, the situation of this city is pleasant. So permit me to start by noting that the man of the city, and I first want to begin by dropping it gradually. The man of the city, they're the one that came and spoke to Elisha. And they're saying, behold, I pray you, the situation of this city is pleasant. Now, the first thing is that if we're looking at what we're calling the city, may I want to say to you that whatever you will define as city, if we are not just talking about geography, it is individual people that makes up a city. If people are not in a place, you can't call it a city. Actually, you define cities by the population that live there. A place will be called a village simply because of the number of people that are dwelling there. Whatever development that will make a place to become a city is only at the instance of the population or the populace that are there. So when we talk of city, in my mind, I first want to reduce it to the individuals that are in that place. And these individuals are the people that have to confess what is their situation. Several times I normally will say that the problem of Nigeria is the Nigerian. Kill the Nigerian that is living in a particular place, you will see that that land is healed, is changed altogether. So the first thing I saw is that he said, and the men of the city said to Elisha, which means we are first of all going to look at the men. We are going to look at the women. We are going to look at these individuals. We are going to look at people that are here. And it must begin with you. It must begin with myself. It must be people who are able to take responsibility for what is happening to their lives. Will you be willing to take responsibility for your personal life, for your secret situation, for the things that is happening in your own life? They said, the situation of this city is pleasant. Your outward appearance appears pleasant. The things that people can easily talk about you appears nice. Your face looks good. Your dressing is interesting. Even your stature and your carriage, it looks pleasant. Dear brother, you look nice, you look handsome on the outside. Dear sister, there's nothing that you can look at and say, oh, this lady is beautiful, this lady is looking nice. You look nice. You have grown up properly, you have grown well, and your physique is interesting. He said the situation of this city is pleasant. The outward appearance of it is exciting. Everybody that is saying, oh, this is a wonderful place. This is a wonderful person. This is a wonderful person. You look nice on the outside. You look nice everywhere. It looks as if everything about you is pleasant. And even they said, as my Lord seeth. It looks as if anybody that is just looking ordinarily, they see something pleasant. Anybody that is just passing by, who doesn't know what is going on inside, they think everything about you, everything about your life is pleasant. Some of you are sitting here, your parents believe that things around you is pleasant. Some of you, your employers imagine that something about you is pleasant. Everywhere people imagine that, yes, that's a good young man going. That's a good young lady going. Oh, we have a nice student there. Everything looks pleasant. But, they said a but. Contrary to what people see on the outside, there is a problem. Contrary to what people can say about you, there is something that is making your life not the kind that you want it to be. But the water is not. What is resourcing your inner life is not good. What is determining your inner life, is not good, is corrupt. You are not the best that you could have been. Your life as it is now is not as pleasant as your outlook. Your outlook looks more pleasant than your inside. And whenever God wants to bring a turnaround in any man's life, that person must come to the point where you look inside, where you look inward, when you look into what others may not see about you, when you are able to say, look, what people see about me on the outside is different from what I am personally passing through. What people are saying about me is not exactly who I am. People don't know what I'm going through. The man inside is not as pleasant as people are looking at me. I am not in the space that people are classifying me. I don't have the kind of inner power that people thought I carry. I am looking nice on the outside, but something is eating me deep inside. Lord, the situation of my life is pleasant, but the water, the internal resource, is not, is bad, is polluted. I am not in the right place. And because of that, the ground is barren. I'm working hard, but I'm not getting results. I am trying everything I can try, but it's only producing emptiness, dryness, and barrenness. I am making effort to become something better, but No matter how I try, I have now come to see that the water is what is causing my dryness, is what is causing my barrenness. Is this the problem? This is the problem. Lord, they cried out, they were not keeping quiet again, and they were not ready to pretend again. If they were the same people that I have met earlier, where was their problem when they were arguing with Elisha here, arguing with Elijah there, and all that they were doing? You will not get a divine visitation until you are ready to face the reality of where you are. Until you are ready to face the reality of what is happening to you. Until you are ready to open up and say, God, even my uncle does not know what I'm going through. My mommy does not know that I am really struggling. And there may be some of you that God brought into this meeting. Honestly speaking, you look nice on the outside, but something has happened. You are rotten inside. Some of the things that is going on in your life, you are afraid for anybody to see or talk about it. You are struggling. You dress nice on the outside, but your inner man has decayed. Your heart is scattered. You are losing grip inside. Some of you are nice, but you have been violated inside. You have been deformed inside. Satan has actually witch hunted your life, and you are not in the right shape. Some of you, the secret sin has run your life down, has run your inner man down. You are weak inside, but you are looking strong on the outside. What is God about to do in this meeting? The first thing I said I should present to you tonight before I ask you to join me in prayer is to come to that position where you are saying, as my Lord seeth, and you know that God can see the situation of your life. The outside look nice. The outside look interesting. The outside look presentable. Nothing is written on your face to show that you are struggling with sin. On the outside, you are looking okay, you are dressed nicely, but something is eating you inside. Something is puncturing you inside. Something is making the output of your life different from your own expectation. Something is making you work hard, you try, you go for fellowship, you go for here, you go for there, but you have a barrenness. A life that is not productive. A life that is only struggling. You have been crying about when you will be delivered from the power of sin. Sin has continued to ravage your life. It has continued to puncture your life. Any little progress you want to make, something is wrong about it. The water is not, and the ground is barren. Before we can talk about God using you anywhere else to go and change other people's life, to go and help others, the first man that God wants to deal with is you. And it will not happen unless you are ready to open up. It will not happen unless you are able to say, Lord, just as I am, I don't want to struggle anymore. I don't want to pretend anymore. I want something that will set me loose, set me free, and bring me back into fruitfulness. I don't want to be just joining the crowd. The situation of my life appears pleasant. If they go to your house, they say, oh, that is a good boy. He's a good man. Sometimes you are married, but your wife does not know that you are rotten. Sometimes your children are not aware that our dad is not the kind of man we thought he is. Now, it was this situation that has been with Jericho. Jericho looked nice. Jericho is well pleasantly placed, but the reality is that there's a barrenness, that nobody knows how to deal with. So now they have an opportunity. And that opportunity that came to them is an opportunity that I perceive God is also bringing to us for today. What was that opportunity? Opportunity to cry. Opportunity to cry. Opportunity to present your case where it can be resolved. Opportunity no longer to go around with psychologists, go around with philosophers, go around with empty talkers, go around with those that are saying, try this. You have tried all of that. You are in trouble. But opportunity has come here for you to cry. I don't know how long this matter has been with Jericho, but when they had opportunity to cry out, that was the beginning of their deliverance. And I'll be reading it to you. That's the beginning of their turnaround. And dear brother and sister, I just wish to say to you that I perceive tonight as an opportunity. Opportunity not to keep quiet. Opportunity to cry out and say, oh God, I am tired of pretense. I am tired of personal struggle. I'm tired of, you know, good appearance, but inside rottenness. I'm tired of being, you know, regarded as someone that is going far, but look at me, I am not where I ought to be. There's barrenness in my life. Opportunity to cry. I have found that every time there's going to be a revival, God gives people opportunity to cry. God gives them opportunity to pray. Opportunity to open up. Opportunity to confess. Every time, as I go through scriptures, each time God is intervening anywhere, whether with the children of Israel in Egypt, when they were suffering, he said, the cry of the children of Israel have come up to me, and I have come down. When God wanted to bring deliverance to Sodom, he said, the wickedness, the cry of Sodom has come to me in heaven. I've come to see it. I was wishing that the Sodom and Gomorrah people themselves, when the angels got there, they cried and said, oh, the situation which we find ourselves is so terrible, please deliver us. Maybe God will have turned them around. I perceive that the opportunity that came for people of Jericho is the opportunity for a turnaround. That opportunity is coming to you again tonight. But I don't want to go talking about all that God says he will do when you have not cried. When you have not brought your own life before God and said, Lord, just as I am. Just as I am. There may be some of you, as our brother was talking, you appear to have been a good Christian somewhere. People look at you, but you are barren. You need a touch. You need a fresh touch. You need a new touch. You need a fresh visitation. So they cried, my Lord, as you can see. What is it that God will not see if you open up to him? What is it that God will not know if you say, Lord, just as I am, please help me? What is it that is difficult for God to handle if you open up to him? And I saw the way God was doing it. Bring me a new cross. And put Sunday on it. And he brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters. And cast the salt in there. And said, thus says the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of the Elisha, which is hope. Brothers and sisters, that matter can finish even with your own life, even tonight. What is exciting to me is that when a man cries, this student congress can be that turning point. I have met several people by the grace of God. We started student congress in 2004, about 22 years ago. And God stood in our midst, and he was talking about the battle for the young, and so many of you were affected. There are people that first meeting, that first night, that opening charge is what became the book that you have been working with, Battle for the Young, just opening charge, when God came down. So I don't take for granted that God could be speaking to you even in this opening charge. This is an opportunity to cry. Opportunity to open up. Opportunity to say, Lord, the situation of my life look pleasant, as my Lord can see it. But something is killing me inside. Something is eating me inside. Something is making me barren inside. Something will not allow me to be productive. Something is always puncturing me. I will start as if I'm going far. Before I know it, I'm punctured. Before I know it, I'm scattered. Before I know it, my life is finished. And before I know it, there's no fruitfulness. I've gone from one meeting to another. I've gone from one deliverance to another. And yet my life is still barren. Lord, I am not going anywhere until you change my life. Until you change my situation. Until you change my heart. And this night, I'm not going to start talking about the new cruise. I'm just going to say, can you open up to the Lord? Can you open up to Him who is able to answer prayer? Can you open up to Him who is able to change your situation? Can you open up to Him who is able to do a new thing in your life? Because He said, I will do a new thing. Isaiah 43, He said in that verse 18, remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Will you not know what God wants to do in your life in this meeting? The former things we know has been barrenness, up and down. Up and down, in and out, you have been punctured here, punctured there, things are scattered with your life. And you have not been the best that you could have been. You have not been the man that God wants you to be. You have not been the woman that God wants you to be. You have not been that young lady. You know, some of you are just about finishing your school, your secondary school, but you're already damaged. You're already devastated. As young as you are, men have already finished your life. But God is saying, I will do a new thing in your life. Don't keep quiet about it. Perhaps you have gone through, you know, a kind of incest. You know, an uncle has been sleeping with you. And he said, don't let anybody know about it. And that has ravaged your life. It has destroyed all that you could have become. And you have found yourself gradually become a sexual pervert yourself because you have lost hope of anything. God is saying, remember not the former things. I want to do a new thing in your life. I'm giving you an opportunity to cry, an opportunity to make it right, to say, oh God, I thought I'm finished, but I'm hearing you say, come to me, I will give you rest. I will do a new thing in your life. It's possible that people thought that you are fine, but you are an addict. You are addicted to alcohol quietly. You still have to drink. You don't do it until when everybody has gone to sleep. You are in trouble. God is saying, why don't you cry out? The man of Jericho said, look, our situation looks pleasant. People think we are on top, but we are not on top of anything. And God is saying, I want to do a new thing. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. And as I was looking at what new thing God wants to do, and I saw Him say, bring me a new cruise. But my first cry is, how can a life that is damaged, where will he get a new cruise again? When will he get a new cruise? He's already damaged and you don't have two lives. So I realized that you must come to God just as you are. And what I'm going to ask you to do tonight is say, Lord, make me new. Create a new thing in my life. I don't have any new thing to give to you, O God. I cannot bring anything. I'm damaged. I'm scattered. I am punctured. But if you can make a man new, make me new, O God. Make me new, O God. And I saw God saying, I will do it. In Ezekiel 36, I'll just read it. I will spend more time on such scriptures tomorrow, but for tonight, because it's an opportunity for you to cry. In Ezekiel 36, all of you please quickly go there. I'm very conscious of the little time we have left, but I just want you to come with me to that chapter 36. In chapter 36, I hear God say, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, brother. For whatever God wants to do, God has to do something new. When he said, bring me a new cruise, when they say, bring me a new cruise, is because what God needs to do needs something new. The old cannot carry what God wants to do. The old life cannot carry it. Your old experience is not adequate for what God wants to do. But if I were here, I say, God, where would I get something new? When all that I carry in my life have been scattered. But I hear God saying, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh. And then I will put my spirit within you. All of that God say, I will, I will, I will. If you will cry out. If you will come to God tonight and say, Lord, before Student Congress goes any far, here am I. Here am I. Make me your vessel. People have been praying. You know, I've been listening to our song. People are saying, make me your vessel. Make me a new cruise. What a great prayer. But I want you to come before God and say, Lord, the situation of my life looks nice. People think I'm all right. But the water that is running my life is bad. The things I'm consuming, what you are consuming on the internet, what you are consuming on the different movies, they are bad. They are producing barrenness in your life. All the friends that are flowing into your life, they are coming in with that kind of corruption, and your life is becoming barren. But tonight, God is saying, I want to do a new thing. But it requires that you will cry out. It requires that you will say, God, here am I. There's nowhere I can go if you don't help me. But I see this promise that say, I will do a new thing. Forget the former things. Don't consider the former things. I'm doing a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. When God says something will spring forth, I enjoy the reading the word of God. Because when you use the word spring, that means it's coming afresh. That means it's springing out. It's not there before, it's a spring. Something will spring in your life from this meeting in the name of Jesus. Something will spring in your heart from this night in the name of Jesus. Something that is not usual. It's not usual. God say it will spring forth. Something will spring forth in your life. A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I want to start something new. The people of Jericho, when they cried, they don't know how the solution is going to come. They don't know what God is going to do. They were only said, look our situation. Everything is barren. The ground is barren. We don't know what to do. All they did was to open up, to confess, and to tell him exactly who they are. But as they did, the wisdom of God, the power power of God. And we are going to be spending time on that as from tomorrow. The team talks will be dealing with that. But for me tonight, before we can be talking about anything else, who is there tonight who is kind? Lord, my situation looks pleasant. People think I'm nice, but I am not. I'm in trouble. The water that is running my life is not. It's bad. It's corrupt. It's killing. I'm being punctured every time. My life is being shredded inside. If it was on the outside, people would have come to your rescue, but the devil is not doing it on the outside first. He's doing it inside. He wants to perforate inside. He wants to deflate inside. He wants to scatter you inside. He wants to get you rotting inside so that you will become an empty carcass. Tonight, there are some of you in this meeting. Your situation looks pleasant because you were even so exposed to the things of God before. You are exposed to the word of God before. You are even a leader maybe in your fellowship. Hey, something has happened. Something is wrong. Something is bad. You have been punctured. You are still president of fellowship, but you are crippled inside. And if you don't cry out to God, how can you manage like that? How can you continue life like that? How can you carry blindness? Now that you are still young, you want to be blind for the rest of your years. Why do you keep quiet when you have an opportunity to cry out to God tonight? So I'm going to begin to ask you to come with me into the place of prayer. I'm going to leave you to cry to God. I believe the Holy Spirit is already here. And I believe that the first thing that God wants to do is to get people to the place where they're saying, just as I am. My situation looks pleasant on the outside, but my inner man is finished. I look nice on the face, but my heart has scattered. I am not the man I wanted to be. I'm not the woman I wanted to be. My face is looking nice. And you know why I'm crying like that? The last everybody I want is seeing the pleasant appearance. God doesn't look at appearance. God doesn't look at countenance on the outside. He looks at the heart. It looks at the condition in which you are. So when he was said, the water is bad. And our ground is green. They were dealing with their internal troubles, internal situation, internal problem. So this night, as you join me in the place of prayer, as you cry to God, opportunity to cry is here. And I won't just forget whether somebody is by your side or somebody is not by your side. It's not about them, it's about you. It's not about your friend, it's not about your relative, it's about you. If God helps you now, you become an answer to that challenge. If God changes your own situation now, your barrenness will disappear. And from now, you become an answer, you become a solution to whatever is going on anywhere God will send you. But tonight, it's important, it's the men of the city that cried. Nobody else could cry for them apart from themselves. No one will speak about your life apart from yourself. No one has the what it takes to say to God what you are going through in your heart. The Bible said the things of a man, who can know it except the man himself? You are the one. Only you know what you are going through. Only you know the situation you are passing through. You can say it to God, say, Lord, I'm looking nice on that side, but I'm struggling. I'm struggling. And I need you to touch me. I need a touch. I need a divine intervention. I need something that will come upon my life in a way that it will make a whole difference. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are going to call on God now. Wherever you are, I would like you to please stand on your feet. Please call on God. You've been sitting for a while, but We are going to pray now. And the way we are going to pray, I want you to pray as if you are the only one in that hall. I want to talk to God as if no one else matters. Whosoever you came with, whosoever came with you, thank God for them. But now we are here before God. Can we settle the issue? Can we check? Are you all right? Is it well with you? Is your inner man fruitful? Are you not going blind? Are you not just struggling? Are you not just repeating yourself? Because the water is hard. Yes, my brother. Yes, my sister. Yes, my brother, my friend. You talk to God and say, Lord, opportunity for me to talk to you have come. And I will not let it go. And tonight, Lord, I want to take you to the source of my problem. I want to take you to where things began. Some of you, your difficulty began when you enter into a relationship with somebody. Some of you, your problem came when you joined a group. You didn't know, but it's a group that has captured you. Some of you, your trouble began when you went into that site, that pornographic site, and since then, your life is scattered. Some of you, oh my God, it is when you went home, you went from home for an holiday somewhere, you met a strange man who said he loves you, and that's the beginning of the trouble. Then go to the source and say, Lord, the water is bad. But I need you to help me. I need you to intervene for me. I need you to come and show me your mercy. But God said, yes, I'll do anything. Yes, I'll do anything. When I saw the way God responded to the people of Jericho, I knew God is going to respond to me and you tonight. God bless you. So I'm going to pray a simple prayer, but it's you who's going to now call on God for yourself. You're the one who's going to say, Lord, look at me. Look at me. I am in this student contest for a divine intervention, and I will not go unless you help me. I will not go unless you change my story. I will not go unless you intervene for me. I will not go unless my life has got a new direction. After that meeting with Elisha, Jericho changed. And God said, until this very day, there's no more barrenness there. I'm trusting God that this meeting, in 10 years' time, in 15 years' time, you'll be able to say, since April 29, 2026, when I took God to the source of this matter, it finished. It finished. And we will see you growing. That's the kind of thing I'm believing God for tonight. Let's pray. Let's pray. If you are standing to pray with me, please, let us pray. And then as I finish praying, I want you to make your own prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight. Thank you because there is no situation with anybody that is too difficult for you. There is nobody in this Congress today, whether they are in Bahamas or they are in Cape Town, whether they are in a remote village in Tiveland, or they are somewhere in Great Britain or in Belgium, there's no God wherever they are that you will not have what it takes to turn their story around. And so tonight, oh God, I step forward my hand and ask, step down into our situation. As many as you cry to me tonight, oh God, let there be a divine touch. As you step into the situation in Jericho and it was changed permanently, I'm asking that you will step into this life tonight and give us a new beginning. Say, a new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, or take away from you the heart of stone. Let that miracle begin to take place tonight as your people cry to you in the name of Jesus. Now, as you are praying, is the Holy Spirit speaking to you and you are saying, Lord, the condition of my life appears pleasant. My marriage looks pleasant. My relationship appears nice. But I know that something is wrong there. And I am getting barren. My life is drying out. Sin is ravaging me. I'm getting punctured inside. Can you raise your right hand to God? Your right hand, wherever you are, even if you are in a crowd, forget the crowd. Lift up your right hand and say, God, you know, I need a touch. I need you to do for me what no man can do. It's not about others. It's me now. I can't continue in this barrenness. I can't continue with this dryness. Oh God, do a new thing in my life. God bless you. Raise that hand and say to God, take my hand, oh God. Take this hand and change my story. Change my heart now. I need a new heart. I need a new spirit. Something that will happen and I will not remain the same again. Lord, that's what I am asking you to do tonight. God bless you. God bless you. Raise the hand above your head because I want to pray with you. I want to call on God with you. We want to stand together and say, Lord, wherever this sister is, you are there. Wherever this brother is standing, you are there. Whether in the village or in the town, in the centers where they are, oh God, do something definite as you did at Jericho. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Raise it above your head. Don't bring it down because God is the one that you are putting your hand in his hand and you are saying, Lord, take me just as I am. I need a touch. I need your touch. God bless you. God bless you. As we are praying, and I want you to take one more step about it. Just take a step out. Come towards the altar. And we shall now pull both hands together on your behalf. Wherever in your own center, please walk out towards the altar and say, Lord, tonight I'm not ashamed to warm up. I'm not ashamed to come to you, Lord. The singing team said, come home, come home. Stop going up and down. Return to where the solution is. Thank you. Please step in. God bless you. God bless you. As you are coming out, I would like to call on God. In all the centers, please keep coming out with your hands straight to heaven and say, Lord, Lord, my situation appears pleasant. People think I'm doing nice. But I know that something is not doing well inside. Please, Lord, come. Thank you. Please keep coming out. Don't waste the time. Please come quickly. Come quickly. We have just a few minutes to do this. God bless you. God bless you as you are coming. And if you get to the altar, let your hand be stretched to heaven and say, Lord, just as I am, just as I am, my Lord, to you I cry. My Lord, to you I cry. Thank you, my brothers. Thank you, my brothers. If it's convenient for you, you want to kneel down, fine. You can kneel down. We are praying. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Just walk out quickly. And if you are walking out, let's make sure, because I must pray with you before I conclude this night. Thank you. All our brothers and elders and leaders that are helping me to coordinate the meeting, please allow the people to come out to the altar. Please give them space because I'm going to pray. I'm believing the hand of God will come upon them in a new way today. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my dear sister. You say, oh, I will do it tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come like this. Tonight is the night. The opportunity to cry has come. God bless you. God bless you. And there are still some persons that need to walk out. Please come out. Don't sit back in your seat. Don't hide behind the pillar. Tonight is the night to say to God, do something definite with me. And I don't want something that it will happen and then after 1 day, 2 days, it will disappear. No, It's going to be a permanent turnaround, as we saw it in that book. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Please move closer to the altar. I'm calling on God on your behalf. Are there yet some other people in some other places? Holy Spirit is calling you. Maybe there's someone listening to me, and you're just on your own. You're just on your own. Holy Spirit said, I caught you to hear this message. You also must move, shift from where you are sitting down, and kneel down. Kneel down before God and say, Lord, tonight I'm hearing your voice. And I'm alone. I don't even know how I will continue, but God will pick you up. God will pick you up. Thank you. God bless you. Do that right away. Shall we pray together? Now, with your hand that you have stretched to heaven, please put it on your chest, on your heart now, and say to God, just as I am, I've come to you. Lord Jesus, my situation looks pleasant on the outside, but me, I know that something is not going well. And I'm bringing you to you tonight. Lord Jesus, where the matter is, I'm opening it up to you. I want you to have mercy on me. So please, tell God, just tell God, we took him to the source of that water. Take Jesus to where the matter started. Tell him, Lord, it is this young man that began my trouble. It is this relationship I entered that began my trouble. It is this club I joined that will not allow me to become anything again. And I'm almost finished now. Lord, please step into my case. Step into my case. Step into my life. Now, but God has made a promise which I want you to believe God for. He said, I'm doing a new thing. I'll give you a new heart. I will create in you a new heart. I will take away from you that old heart, that deformed heart, that scattered heart. I will change it for you. I'm not just going to patch your old life. I'm going to give you a brand new life. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creation, a brand new life. God is saying, a new cross, a new cross. I'm going to make you a new cross. Oh, thank you, Lord. So tell Jesus, take it. Take my life and make it new. Take my heart and make it new. I no longer can hide. I can't hide in that. Why will I hide rubbish? I'm ready for something new from tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So ask him, say, Jesus, take your space in my heart now. Do that new thing you say you will do. A new heart, I need. I don't need a patch. I need something new from you. Even if you are saying you want to renew my mind, let it be completely new. Lord, do a new thing with me. Let it spring forth. From now. He said, now shall you spring forth. It's going to be a spring. It means it's not there before. Something will spring out of your life from this night. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, I've prayed. Now with your hand on your heart, whether you are able to kneel down or you are standing, but you are put there before the Lord, let me now pray for you. Lord, look at my friends. Look at my brothers. From land to land, from nation to nation, from city to city, from one center to another. We have heard you, and they are responding to you by your spirit tonight. Lord, step into their situation. But from this night, give them violence. Change their heart. Change their heart. Give them a new spirit. As you promised, make them a new vessel. Said, if any man be in Christ, the new creation, do something new with their lives from now, oh God. That from this very night, a new thing will begin. A new thing that they cannot deny. A new thing that everybody will know that something new has happened in the lives of this son of mine, in the name of Jesus. Every power of sin, break it. Every yoke of darkness, scatter it. By the authority in the name of Jesus, He will release you from that hold. That addiction will release you from it. A boy gave a testimony yesterday, said when the Lord came to his life, he didn't know how he stopped smoking, how he stopped drinking, how he stopped going up and down with women. Today, oh God, he did it again. He did it for all such that are addicted, all such that are struggling, all such that are struggling with one to another. Reaching out tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. Thank you. Lord, I'm trusting that you will bring out your register tonight and write their names. Say, I have written your name on my palm. Lord, write their names now, Lord, in the book of life. Watch over each one of them. Wherever they are, oh God, they will never be lost anymore. They will become a vessel in your hand. And you will put salt inside their lives, a new spirit life put within you. We are trusting you, God, that in the course of today, this miracle will take place. This miracle will take place. This transformation will take place. Because you are the Lord who does what no man can do. Thank you. Satan, I charge you tonight. Whatever you have done with this life, enough is enough. Whatever you have done with any of them, enough is enough. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. But from tonight, pack your load and go. They are released in the name of Jesus. In Namibia, they are released. In Zimbabwe, they are released. In Rwanda, in Malawi, they are released. In the name of Jesus. And even in those remote villages, when you have reached out to them, they are released to become a new force in your hand. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen.